Yes, I will keep it right here as close as possible. How does this look? How about that? That good? Right there? Just set it on my chin. Just the picture, okay. Hmm? I like it. I like it.
Quiet?
Yes. How are you?
Good. Just, I was at Northwoods last night and get back until like 1:30.
Oh.
Working until like 6 a.m.
Where do you live?
Right by Fox Sports Studios.
Okay.
So it's not a bad drive. It's just I had a lot of work.
How long does it take you to get to the track, Northwoods? Oh, it's not bad.
No, it's not bad at all. Just
probably a little sleepy coming home, but.
I had work to do, so I got writing to do, so I was like, I'm going as well.
Was it cool, though? I was kind of regretting I didn't go, but just had a dinner. And
sold out. I don't know if that
is. Yeah.
14 to 18 is what I've heard. It was,
that's wild. On a Wednesday night.
Wednesday night, and the energy was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was old school. It just felt old school.
I mean, I don't know how to say this politely right, but those were like true race fans there.
Yeah.
Only true race fans are going to go out to North Wilkesboro on a Wednesday.
They were very into Dale.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he made that happen. Yeah, but you know that he's not going to move Carson out of the way.
No, he's not going to move Carson out of the way. But I think if he would have gotten him, he would have made it interesting.
Yeah.
You know, but he was trying to catch
him. I was pumped for Carson. That's awesome.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I've been told that drivers have bangs. Actually, I'll ask you over. Is that all right?
You what?
Can I ask you when we step away from the microphone?
Yeah. Yeah, just, I mean, and I say this truthfully, just going in and experiencing it, Holly, it's, that's what it's about for me is this is the exact spot that I've worked really my entire life, you know, or my entire racing career for sure, but even just in the sport, you know, 11 years of wanting to be, as silly as it sounds, at Playoff Media Day in the Cup Series, like, so now it, about going and experiencing it. I don't know what to expect. I don't know what's going to change.
As wide open as the season has been, is there really a true front runner or favorite, I guess, going into the playoffs? It seems like we've had so many people win. You know, I guess maybe Chase Elliott is kind of, you know, on that tier, but do you think there's a clear favorite or is it kind of wide open, kind of like the regular season's been?
Yeah, I think this new car that the France family and NASCAR rolled out, you know, got us, I don't know, 80% parity across the field. You know, I don't think you'll ever get 100%, but I think that it got us 80% farther than I've ever seen the sport and looking back at the history. So I don't know how you could call anybody a favorite.
When you received your ring this week. What did that feel like, and was that part of the bigger picture that Justin was talking about of having, like, the company pep rally entering the playoffs?
It felt like it was all worth it, that everything that we've put in and, you know, altered about that I have about my life, it was all worth it just for that small little piece of metal, and what it means, and right, the memories. And then to have everybody in the company getting one, it was like, we did this. We did it together. So it just felt like it was all worth it.
And he basically delivered the message, stay the course, because why change when we're doing this well, and we've accomplished so much in such a short period of time, stay the course. There's no reason to change anything. Is that what indeed, you know, that's what he was telling us he was going to say. Is that pretty much what the message was that was delivered to the company?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It's pretty wild that what we've accomplished this year. And, yeah, the message was, yeah, everybody have each other's back, have your neighbor's back, have your teammates' back, and let's go experience this. Let's go race.
You seem pretty emotional about this, like it's just starting to sink in. I mean, am I reading you right?
Yeah, it is. It's pretty wild. This week has felt almost awkwardly normal, and I didn't expect that. Sitting here, yeah, this is different. This is, I mean, you just even go back one calendar year, and the guys that I trained with were all here. And I was the only one in the group not here. And that was humbling. And I was out training and probably pushed myself too hard that day, but it was motivating. Not that pedaling the bike harder that day was going to make me get here, but it's pretty wild to be here. It's just not – I worked to get here, but I just never thought I would get here, honestly, just internally.
About your chances, you've had such a strong season. I know this is the first playoff, but if you were to be, you know, real honest with us, do you like the outlook going into the playoffs? I mean, how far into it do you expect to go? I mean, how much of a contender will we see you be?
Yeah, I can't answer that. I don't think that question's ready to be answered, right? I think that there's times this year where we did a really good job, and there's times this year where I did a really, really bad job behind the wheel, and finding that middle ground. We don't have to be 10 weeks of the best that I've ever driven, but it's going to be better than some of the weeks I've put out this year. So I don't have a number of races we'll go, you know, how far we'll go in this run, but I wouldn't want to be with any, you know, in any other position than where I'm at. I think it's a great time to be in a Chevrolet, and I think obviously, it's a great time to be at Trackhouse, and it feels good.
I apologize, Ross, if this was already asked, but obviously your name continues to come up of who's still mad at Ross Chastain. Do you feel like you do a good job of tuning all of that out?
Off track, yeah. Probably sometimes too much. I don't actually keep up with what people are saying enough. And then on track, yeah, I know who's around me, and I know obviously every situation and every scenario that's happened this year. So yeah, and you can tell right away, you know, a car is being driven aggressively against me or not. So on track, yes. Off track, I probably don't do a good enough job to keep up with the words being said.
You and Justin have both said about not changing anything, enjoy the ride, so on and so forth. But you had a quote this week about you've been getting maybe advice and feedback on your first playoff appearance. What has that been like, and how much are you listening, and how much are you maybe saying, okay, I'm not going to store that information?
Well, I've had a lot of opinions given to me and a lot of advice, and I truly believe it's all with the right intentions. But, well, honestly, dad joke of the day here, just like my iPhone is out of storage space and it can't take anything else, like it's always telling me it hasn't been backed up because it has no more storage, like I'm kind of that way too. So there's a lot that just kind of goes in one ear and out the other, for better or worse. But I do take everybody's opinion and make my own, right, and form my own thought. And I'm human. Like, I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to do exactly the opposite of what somebody says, even though their way was better. And sometimes it's on purpose and sometimes it's not.
So. Some of the veterans, of course, will say experience in the playoff matters. How do you believe that? And how do you make up for that? Do you wonder about that?
Oh, I definitely wish I had done this last year, you know, or for 5 years, right? Just selfishly, that means that I'm putting myself in the playoffs year after year. I'm going to go experience this year. I think this is an arrival, right, of Trackhouse. So I think, come back to me in 10 weeks and I'm going to be better for what has happened, right, no matter what happens. And when we're sitting here next year, I'm going to have 10 weeks of playoff knowledge, for better or worse.
You were talking about things going in one ear and out the other. Is that how you're handling the hoopla that's around this, like media day and just on and on and on, to keep yourself grounded and on the right path?
Well, selfishly and humanly, I've taken this first little bit here to enjoy this and just walking in and changing, we were all here for preseason media day, but like I remembered then how I was not here last fall for playoff media day, and now that we're here, I'm taking this moment right now to my name's on a board at playoff media day. I'm not sorry, I'm gonna enjoy it. And walking out of here, it's right back to, well, not tonight because of the premiere, but tomorrow morning it's right back to regular preparation that I do no matter what. So there's some hoopla right now that I'm gonna enjoy it, and I'll get back to work in the morning.
Besides Justin, who are some of the feedback and voices coming from?
I can't tell all my secrets, but it's some really crazy people that you'd know their names, and some are not, that I hold them really high.
Speaking of staying grounded, what's been your experience like with Race for the Championship and just being a part of that and having, cameras follow you guys? And have you seen any of the previews, and what are you looking forward to coming out from that?
I've not seen a single second of it, so I kind of wish I had, but, I won't be involved in much of the beginning of the year. We didn't get added into it until we had won. So it's kind of funny how that works, right? You win and you get, that's what comes with that kind of stuff. So we got added in midway through the season, as far as myself and the one team. It's been different. It's, there's parts about it that I like, and then there's parts of it that I think we're missing telling part of the story, honestly, right? I think that there's parts of it that I really wanted to capture and that wasn't being captured. So I think that's anything with TV, right? It can't capture everything. It's just like a race. You can't capture every pass in a race on TV, but they do a pretty good job.
Kyle Larson said that he considers you a favorite to win the chase on one hand. On the other hand, he mentioned all the nonsense, right, and that you won't make it all the way through. So if you had to, predict which way this was going to go, what are your expectations? It's almost like a backhanded comment to say, okay, you're somebody who we're looking at as a favorite, mm-hmm. but on the other side, you have to make it there first.
I mean, he's not wrong in that I've taken this summer and not made it easier on myself. But I don't see a single race the rest of the year that Trackhouse can't go win.
What would a guy like Kyle Busch bring to Trackhouse? And, is he somebody that could elevate the program even more than it is?
No way.
Mm-mm. Would he make a good teammate?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Ross, can you reflected on your first year at Trackhouse. Can you just, in your own words, take me through this past year, why is this moment so special to you?
Well, I mean, it's just exactly where I've wanted to be, and having owners that believed in me and put me in the car when we had 10 races of 38 sold, and said, "You're good." Signed a multi-year contract that I've never done and said, "You're good," and let me keep my team that I wanted to keep and said, "Y'all are good. Go race." And that was the building blocks of what you saw this year. And then the new car that NASCAR and the France family rolled out was the catalyst for Trackhouse, and it's the main reason that we've been able to take the group of people we have and go and compete the way we have. So it's just exactly where I've always wanted to be.
Would you say the stars have aligned for you?
The stars, the galaxies, the everything, all parts. And it'll, you know, it's not, life's not fair. It'll probably never happen again for anybody else the way it's happened for me.
Yeah. Well, what's it like being a part of something that's not the Richard Childress Racing? It's not the, you know, the established kind of being the disruptors in this sport?
Well, I'll be honest. I signed going into 2021 with, right, Chip Ganassi, and he's been here for 20 years, and he's going to be here for 20 more. He's going to far outlive me in the sport, right? He'll still be racing in the Cup Series, and I'll be retired. And that just wasn't the case. It was Chip's time to step out. So I bet on the long-term experienced team of CGR when I had options. And halfway through the year, he sells it. And turns out it was the best thing that could have ever happened. It was his time to get out with this new car, and Justin's time to come in. And it's incredible. The difference that it's made.
How has the philosophy of management changed since Justin's taken over?
Everybody's different, right? So everybody's human, and there's strengths and weaknesses to all sides. You know, I have my opinions of, you know, just how, when you really nitpick things, how stuff could be different. But I mean, it takes some strong belief in their thinking that you can get up in front of a shop and say, if you don't believe in this new car and where NASCAR is going, we don't need you here. And that was blatantly said. And for a lot of people, this was their time to step out. And I don't, right? If I was at that point in my life, I might have made the same decision. You never know. And so for me and for Trackhouse, it was the perfect time to fully be in the sport and to be fully bought in on the Clash and moving all this schedule stuff around and everything this new car was going to bring. Although there was some times where I questioned it when we're all wrecking in practice, but turns out that was a really cool point in this sports life of going out in practice and not knowing who was going to crash.
And when you first came into the Cup Series, did you ever foresee a time when you would be living rent-free in Denny's head?
No, because I was still paying to rent a house from Dale Jr., so never thought anything would be free.
Do you and Daniel ever just look at each other and be like, how are we here, you and Daniel Suarez?
No, because when we're together, it's full preparation of competition. So, it's this never-ending desire to be better. We push each other a lot. It's physically, he's got me covered, so I'm chasing him a lot.
You've just been so reflective today. I don't know if, in the future, maybe tomorrow or something, you two are going to be like, maybe not.
I probably will. I can't speak for him, though.
Can you tell me the first time in your racing career where you thought it might end? Or that you might have to go on a different path, whether that was as a team or even later?
There were several times, but I mean, as quick as it started with us going and running one truck race at IRP in 2011, that was it. That was the plan. And then fortunately we ran 10th, and that led us to pursue more. And obviously the most apparent one was, you know, having to shut the 42 Xfinity team down. And I just thought, oh, it's done. Like, and until January 2nd, it was done in my head. From the night I found out the raid happened, which was a day and a half later, to January 2nd, in my head I was done racing in NASCAR. I was going to be done. And January 2nd, I decided to try it again.
What do you mean by it?
I just, in my head, once that was gone, I just never thought I'd have another opportunity like that. And I wasn't mentally ready to go back and run scuffed tires. And ultimately, I decided to go back and run scuffed tires.
But that, you know, helped you?
Oh, for sure. I mean, then switching points that year, you know, really coming back and, well, not my words, Doug Dukart attributed his belief in putting me in the 42 Cup car was going and winning truck races with Nice Motorsports. After the 42 shut down, the Xfinity car, mm-hmm. going back the next year and winning truck races with Nice was a very big box checked for him to put me back in the Cup car.
And that was that period where you were riding 70 something. I mean, you mm-hmm. basically anything with wheels, you were
yep.
taking any ride.
And but switching points and going on a championship run was big for him.
As you go through this experience, and you've had this year, you've climbed the ladder and through your desire of being able to get to this point, you've reached a new level this year with the success of the win. So now everybody's your buddy. And now whenever you do anything, good or bad, it's talked about, whether it's you winning or whether it's contact. So I'm curious, it's probably something you maybe haven't had to the degree of maybe earlier in your career. How do you handle the noise? And obviously there's a lot of noise that even comes into the playoffs with what you've done successfully, what others have said. How have you learned to handle that?
I'm learning.
Yeah.
And I'm continuing to learn. Yeah, there's been points this year, several times where I've just, you know, popped all the social media apps right off my phone and just got them off, right? Then I have to get back on for some reason to post something, and all right, let's look. That's been the biggest thing. I get off social media. Life is nice. And I have people I tell, you know, they know, so they screenshot stuff, send it to me that's important and worth seeing. Other than that, the times that I've spent off are just, like, I swear the sun shines brighter and the birds chirp louder.
Do you, when you go to Darlington, changing the subject, when you go to Darlington, do you know how giving this car will be at this racetrack of Darlington, where you don't know, you could be a little bit more pushing towards the wall, thinking that the car would be more giving, and now you guys are figuring it out? How much do you know, you know?
I don't ever feel like I know enough, Claire. So, going to Darlington, I know to not speed on the way down there, and I know to stop at McLeod's and get some fresh fruit. And other than that, you know, the moments that I've thought I knew, I've crashed with other cars, or I've crashed off turn two in the spring where I felt like I knew the potential of the car. So, you know, proximity to the wall is one thing, but I don't know. The grip changes lap to lap. It's constantly going down, and that's why I want to run both races this weekend, so I at least build my notebook the best I can.
Do you understand why Denny, feeling the way he feels, says it's just he could have done it, but he thinks he should focus on the playoffs and not run the Xfinity race, feeling as he's feeling after the hit?
Yeah, I don't know, you know, what he's feeling. So,
but I mean,
I
how tough is racing two races then? I mean, how much do you think about the playoffs without having what Denny's experiencing and running two of them?
Yeah, just for me, you know, there's that we listed out the pros and cons of it, and just the pros outweighed it, and you know, I'm aware of what I need to do and the prep that we've put in, and then, you know, those, you have so many minutes in a day, so for Saturday and Sunday, how do I maximize those minutes? That's going to be, you know, key through recovery after the Xfinity race Saturday and getting ready for 500 miler on Sunday, right? I need to be ready. So a large percentage of my minutes of Saturday and Sunday are fully into being the best I can be at mile 500 on Sunday.
Got it.
Do you feel like some of the criticisms of your driving this year has been a little unfair?
Everybody's got an opinion, so it's fine.
What is the thought in the sense of in 10 weeks from now, you could be a champion?
I'm just here to hang on for the ride, right? Like, experience 10 weeks, and however it goes in 10 weeks, I'll have a better answer for you.
How hard is it not to look ahead?
Well, it's easy for me because I swear my memory is short enough that I have to keep it short and my focus, and I have Darlington and Kansas with, like, I know Bristol's the third race, but nothing, no thoughts on Bristol yet. So Darlington and Kansas are all of the bandwidth I really have. I truly cannot tell you what the fourth race is.
Do you guys feel like you're stronger than ever right now or falling off a little bit? I mean, what's the thought process going in?
I mean, I've been in two races this year where I didn't think we could win. And that's pretty dang awesome to be in the Cup Series and be able to say that across 26 races. So much pressure. Yeah, just self-imposed. I was getting in a truck that Justin Marks had been racing the first half of the year, and teammates with Cole Witt. He's sitting on poles. He's leading laps, like in contention to win races. And I've never done a live pit stop. I've never shifted without using the clutch, which, again, I used the clutch through all five races in 2011 and qualifying at Daytona in 2012 before somebody said, hey, you don't have to use the clutch in these. No one told me. I didn't have a driver coach or any prep. I just went and drove. Like, that's it.
And what is, you used to work with Josh in his group. Mm-hmm. How has he helped prepare you for this opportunity and this challenge?
Yeah, it's scary almost how much he helps me. Because I, you know, wish I could go back and know this stuff 10 years ago and think about the evolution I could have had as a driver. You know, I feel like I'm always playing catch up, and I'm catching up faster because of his program. Yep. Yep.